Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. Just to start our agenda tonight for the full parish council meeting, PC 083-18, to receive and approve apologies for absence.
Apologies from the chair, who can't attend for personal reasons, and Councillor Kilmurray, who said he may be late. He may not be able to make it, so.
Do we find those acceptable excuses? I think we have to vote on this now, don't we?
We do.
So all those in, can I have a?
I propose.
Seconder? Thank you. And all those in favour? Thank you.
Seconded, sorry.
I seconded.
Thank you.
All those in favour? Thank you. To receive any, under PC 084-18, to receive any declarations of interest and dispensations. Are there any tonight, please?
Request for dispensations to receive from Councillor Travis relating to PC 9018 and PC
09418. 09418.
09418.
Okay, thank you. Okay. All right, so moving on.
Are they approved?
Yes. Oh, sorry, can I have a... I have to go through that as well. Just can I have a proposal, please? And a seconder? All those in favour?
All those, I don't know. Is this...
I think you
sorry.
Do you vote?
Sorry.
I shall note it and I'll check.
Yeah. Did you vote for or against, Councillor Travis?
To receive declarations, Councillor Price, on the agenda, that's done. To receive written requests for dispensations for disclosure, pecuniary interests, if any.
No
pecuniary interests?
No.
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 Thank you. To grant any requests for dispensation as appropriate. Okay, so we move on. PC 085-18, to approve the minutes of the parish council meeting, 24th of September. Have we all read and inwardly digested? Are there any comments or anybody want to raise any points of order? Okay, can I have a proposer, please, and a seconder? Thank you. Mr. Buxton, Councillor Hart. And all those in favour? Okay, that's unanimous. And
I will abstain on the basis I wasn't at the meeting. Yeah.
You can still vote if you don't think there's anything, if you've been aware that none of the other councillors have raised any issues with them, you are, can still vote to...
I shall bear that in mind for next time.
Okay. Right. PC 086-18, to report back on the minutes of the parish council meeting, 24th September. Is there anything to report back? Madam Clerk.
PC 7118, the RFO has clarified an item on the repayments of the loan.
Uh-huh. Oh yes, so I think Councillor Kilmurray last time asked why we haven't got half of the 50% of the loan repayment shown on here. It was, so last month we were at the 5 month stage anyway, but also there are two loan repayments for the car park, so at that stage we paid one of them, and then the second one was paid this month, so at the 6 month stage you will see we are 50% on.
That's September and March, aren't they?
Yes, yeah.
PC 7218, the statutory notices have been published.
Okay.
PC 7718, the discussion about rotivating allotment plots was discussed at the maintenance meeting. That's it.
Okay. Right. No questions, we'll move on. Let's put back the minutes. That's correct. All right. I understand that you would like to go quite early. We were going to put your, the three of you in next.
Yeah, I don't know where they are, really.
No,
Joe.
Would you like to go? If you'd like to go,
thank you very much.
And then if they arrive in time, then they can pick up straight away.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I don't want to take up too much of your time. You presumably have my report. just a couple of things to highlight. I want to thank Parish Clark for supplying a letter of support for the Access for All application for Melville Station, whereby we are seeking to make the station accessible, as we have been for many years. And there's a new round of Department for Transport funding for station accessibility. So we at Meldrith are putting in an application that Govia Thameslink will progress on our behalf. We need the ramp to the station platform, and we must ask for lifts if we're going to ever have a chance. Mm-hmm. So those are the things we've asked for. Part of, just to say, as you know, Melbourne Parish Council very astutely managed to get a Section 106 to upgrade part of the path from the A10 underpass to the station. That would be DDA, Disability Discrimination Act compliant. And having a network that meets any access improvements at the station is vital. So you can't, we wouldn't succeed in winning funding to transform the station without a connecting network. But it only goes to the underpass. And so I have discussed with county officers to look for opportunities to complete that path to Station Road, because it does need to be a full thing. And then, just to reiterate on highways, to please encourage people to report problems. I know it's hard, morale-wise, to keep reporting things and get done, but it's absolutely essential that we have a log, a public record, and that's the only way that we can progress things. I'm starting to get annoyed at, you know, people are getting annoyed already, and we aren't in winter yet, but we need to report these things. I am meeting our temporary district highways manager in a couple of weeks, just to go around the patch and highlight selectively our what needs improving. So if anybody wants to send me anything, please do. I mean, it's hard to say do all the paths and roads in Melbourne. So he does know the area pretty well, and I will ask him if we could renew the flood tour, the drainage tour that we've done in the last couple of years, but do just let me know. And then finally, I know Councillor Kilmurray isn't here, but something I was going to add to my report, the Practical Solutions Group, PSG, it has met recently, and one of the items that always comes up is the way in which the police describe the reports of young people in public places, i.e. they're, if you get e-cops, I don't know if any of you have subscribed to e-cops. Recently there was a report of young people, it wasn't in Melbourne, it was in Bassingbourne, but young people were reported to be on the recreation ground in a group. Something like that. Well, of course they were on the recreation ground in a group. And this is a discussion that we started with the Melbourne PSG some years ago. It's creating negative perceptions out of nothing. And I personally find it quite a damaging thing, because if you read e-cops, it says this: we are investigating the following reports that have been made to us. And it doesn't seem fair to list young people congregating on the recreation ground in those circumstances if there's nothing to show that that's been wrong. So the positive step is that the author of the ECOPS reporting has recently been in touch to say, okay, I've received another one of his reports. And what I'm going to say is somebody went down to talk to the young people, they were extremely polite, and they were simply having a nice time, and there was nothing untoward, you know, that kind of thing. But they're still in the ECOPS listing, and Councillor Kilmurry was concerned simply, you know, that they are within that body of reporting for no reason at all, except that someone's made a phone call feeling suspicious. So that was just the one thing I was going to add. I thought it was a good point you raised. And I won't go over the rest of the stuff. Thanks.
Can I just ask, I'm just mindful that I think I've dropped off the link of the Practical Solutions Group. That's the group that meets at Melbourne.
Village College.
Do you know when the next date could that be set?
Maybe I've lost track of the resignations. Are you the other designated?
I certainly used to attend. Yeah.
I beg your pardon. Okay. I will add to that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you.
And bring you up to date at some point.
That's lovely. Thanks.
Okay. I understand that our district councillors need to move on very quickly. So, for District Councillor Hart and Councillor Howard would like to jump in with their reports.
Well, it's very, very kind of you, particularly as we were both late. So we've just.
Was
later than you. Yes, Joseph was later than me, but only because he couldn't overtake me on the 11:98. We've just hot-footed it actually from a housing strategy and workshop at South Cams, which doesn't appear in our report, but just so that you know, the council is working on a joint house strategy for the first time with Cambridge City. So this was a workshop for local district councillors, and actually there was a parish councillor on my table, wasn't there? And what we're trying to do is tie quite a different set of housing needs in the south of the district, or you know, in our part of the world, with those that preoccupy the city councillors as well. So that it'll be quite an interesting document when it actually results. I submitted my our report earlier today, so. Just running through it briefly. I don't know how much people in Melbourne know about the East-West Rail and the proposed routing. It probably affects Melbourne residents the least of any of our more villages. And it's increasingly preoccupying people in Wadden and Shepford in particular. So there is an alternative proposal being put forward quite strongly by this organisation called the Canbed Railroad, and that would be to divert the line away from our villages, but to take them through and to serve Camborne and Northstone and Waterbeach, but through an obviously much more congested part in terms of housing on the approach into Cambridge. So there's a petition that can be signed if you feel strongly about it, but there's lots of information on the Canbed Railroad website. I don't know if you want to add anything, Susie.
There's something will appear in the Melbourne magazine about this. I don't think a lot of information has been circulated before now, but it has been on the radar, certainly in when I was a councillor at Foxton, any prospect for a bridge or underpass at Foxton Level Crossing was always tied up with East-West Rail coming in, one of the routes for those routes coming in this way. But it is all coming into focus much more clearly now, and I think it's very important for people to be informed about what's happening now and what options there might be. Because it will have a significant effect on this area in good and bad ways.
And just so that you all know, I'm having to do this ad nauseam really, in that what we think is going to be the government's preferred route would involve it coming across my family farm. So I have to declare an interest about that, even though I'm not particularly interested in it. So Jose will always be able to front any representation, and I have to absent myself from council meetings and things like that, until we know more, at least. Parliamentary constituencies, the Boundary Commission has now published its final recommendations, and as expected, the Melbourne and Bassingbourne wards look like they're going to go into a North Harts constituency. Whether it's going to be called Letchworth and Royston, I don't know, but that kind of describes the geography. It does have to be adopted by a vote in Parliament, so that's the last line in the sand, but it does look very much like it's going to happen. It seems a while ago now, but the County Council's Planning Committee refused the Water Beach waste incinerator on grounds of its proximity to a heritage asset at Denny Abbey. And more relevant to us, the committee has also deferred a decision on whether to allow the restoration of the quarry at Barrington to be extended by up to 15 years, chiefly because that means that we're going to get so much train disruption with the Crossrail. It's Crossrail traffic, isn't it really, Susie? It's a lot of the spoil from the Crossrail project has been coming in by train to fill in the quarry at Barrington. Now, I assume that supply will stop. I'm sure there are plenty of other major infrastructure projects that could keep filling the quarry up for 15 years.
It's a new series right now.
Yeah. The council works in partnership with various schemes, one of them being the Age UK handyman scheme to help older people stay in their homes by giving them a free home assessment and fitting grab rails. Other schemes are available, and I believe in the South Camps magazine is going to list them all. Repair cafes, these have been set up in Heston, Durton, Fulbourne and Sawston, and if Melbourne had a group of like-minded individuals who like repairing things, it might be quite nice to have a repair cafe around here. And there's more information there in the report. Jose, you can talk about the grant pot. Do you want to say anything about that? Because you are the head of the grants committee.
The community chest is open. The energy grant is about open, if Cabinet approve it. It's got to go back through you. I'm looking at Philippa because she's a Cabinet member and I'm not. I am lowly where she is not.
That's right.
Essentially, the energy grants are for sums up to £3,000, where any community group, parish council or otherwise, if they have buildings or projects they would like to decrease the carbon footprint with, then you need to be looking at the website for that. It's quite a nice little grant funding. The £400,000 you talked about there is it's a suppliers of services, like we have the CAB, we have Belay here, but the CAB and other Home Start people are that bid for this money to challenge. So usually over a 3-year period. So we've released it, but I suspect it's going to be potentially the same faces that deliver those things, because they've been doing a grand job up until now. So.
Okay, charges for second green bins. This is part of streamlining this now shared service with Cambridge City, where they've already been charging residents for additional green bins. We have had one query from a resident, and I don't yet know the answer, but the point which was well made was we're being charged to make compost, and then if we want to come and get some compost at Water Beach at the depot, we have to pay for it, but I don't know if we have to pay for it there.
I thought it was £2.50 a bag, but
okay.
We've asked the question of the lead member for...
Have we?
You have, I did.
Good.
He hasn't replied yet, right. He's obviously busy. So.
Yeah. So I take the residents' point. We knew that, there would be some disagreement with paying people to do what they kind of should be doing, which is, you know, using their green bins responsibly. But it's just a cost to the council, and we just have to accept that. Last but not least, please do advertise in the community calendar if you have any events, for example, at the Hub. They are actually short of things to put in it in the magazine, so they're literally saying, please do come forward.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions for our county councillors or district councillors?
I'm interested in the possible connection between repair cafes and the time bank.
Are these
two things kind of doing the same thing?
Well, there is a definite overlap, isn't there? Yes. The time banking initiative really originated with sort of without the new administration, and I think the repair cafes have been going a while as well, haven't they? So the time banking was brought forward by a Tory councillor, actually in Camborne, and you know, we would never seek not to, you know, to discourage initiatives like that. So, but I agree. I think there could be a very obvious overlap.
Any more questions? You're free to depart if you're going to race off down the road somewhere else.
We actually have to go into a huddle, probably downstairs. Okay. Not to talk about me there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Right, moving on, we come to the public participation. So if the public would like to raise any questions, you have 15 minutes, but only 3 minutes per person. So if you'd like to start now. Do you have any questions, actually?
No, I don't.
Okay. I think then we can move on. I don't think that we have anyone else hanging around outside here. Okay, we move on to receive the clerk's report next. Sometimes Simon reads it out, other times he just submits it, I think. So does anybody want me to read out the report or just take it as read by everybody? I have a copy here if you want me to transfer or read it out.
Just a comment, Chair, really, that linking with what Councillor Trafford said about the time bank, that from this Melbourne has been chosen to be one of the two pilots, which will be interesting, and how we could perhaps see those overlaps with the repair cafe. So it's something to think about. But in terms of there being two pilots, and we gave it, that's reason to celebrate, I thought.
Through the same. Does anybody want me to read out the report, or are we okay?
Okay.
We'll take that as given for the minutes. Now, if we could move on to finance matters, to receive and consider the monthly financial report, please. Any questions for our RFO? Sorry, Councillor Buxton. Just to go back, have the clerk's report. Would you like it read, or are you happy that you've already read it?
I have read it, yes.
Okay. Any questions on it? Or?
No.
Thank you. To move on then to the financial matters, PC 08918, to receive the consider monthly financial report. Does anybody have any questions on the report in its context? Councillor Travers.
Perhaps I could ask the RFO to comment on where you think we're tracking on expenditure of the budget.
Yeah, I mean, so generally, I think we're doing pretty well at the six-month stage. Obviously, there's always caveats in that, because we're at the six-month stage and we don't exactly know what's going to happen, but it's looking pretty healthy at the minute. You wouldn't expect everything to sort of, like, income and expenditure to incur evenly throughout the year, so you wouldn't necessarily expect us to have half of our income now and half of our expenditure, because certain things don't work out like that. So, for example, the allotments, we're only just invoicing those now, so we'll expect that income to come in over the next few months. We've got certain big expenditure items, such as the rent on the parish office, which won't go out until sort of January. So there's various things that work out not quite on a sort of even basis. But overall, income, I think, is looking like we'll probably do slightly better than budget on income. There are certain things like cemeteries, and we've got some repayments on a bank account for the neighbourhood plan that weren't in the budget. Expenditure's a bit more swings and roundabouts there, so we've got overspend on certain areas, particularly utilities that we hadn't budgeted for, and there will be some maintenance expenditure which we didn't know was going to happen. But then we've also saved money on budget on areas like salaries, insurance, which is re-tendered, and also potentially on some of the maintenance contracts that have been re-tendered. So I think overall we should be able to cover any overspends either through our asset management reserve or through reallocating things from those other headings. So at the moment, I think it's looking pretty good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay. Moving on to PCO 8918B to receive and consider the approval list for October 2018. Anybody have any questions or queries with regard to the approval list? So, can you see anything that's sprung out? Okay. Nobody has any issues there. We can move on to the next subject, PCO 9018, Community Government.
Need to vote to?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I do apologise.
You need to propose a vote.
Sorry, can I have a proposer, please? And a seconder?
Sorry, who
proposed?
Sorry.
So, I am.
Thank you.
And John. Seconded. Sorry, I do apologise for that. All in favour? Unanimous. Thank you. Okay, thank you, John. So, right, to move on to PCO 9018, Community Hub Matters, to consider a report from the RFL on the hub asset and ownership. Have you read through this? I think it's pretty self-explanatory what our RFL has said. Does anybody have any questions on the VAT issue and the grants? Anybody want to ask?
Perhaps you'd like me to comment on the background to this?
If you would please.
It began by me asking or proposing to the Parish Council that the Parish Council took ownership of all hub assets, bearing in mind that the Parish Council owned most of the hub assets anyway. So that were assets to come into the ownership temporarily, let's say, of the hub management, that they would gift them to the parish council in order to keep things simple, as it were. So all of the assets were in one place, all the insurances were in one place, and so on. And the RFO has investigated this proposal further and found that he cannot do that. So basically, what's being proposed this evening is an alternative, for which I agree.
Okay. Okay. Any further questions?
I don't really have anything further to add.
I would imagine they're accepting the.
Yeah, just accepting the recommendation.
I think there was concern at the last meeting, wasn't there, about whether there was sort of carte blanche for the hub to go out and just buy things and then the parish council would have to pay for it, which isn't the case anyway, because we do have budgetary constraints there. But I mean, I don't know if we perhaps want to consider something about the wording on that.
I think there was a member of the public raised that, didn't they, last time, about the control.
I don't really think this is a concern, because the hub would only buy the capital asset if it was absolutely imperative that it needed to do that, and it would not normally at the moment anyway have the cash reserves to do it. It would only be able to do it through a grant. And what this is saying is that if we seek a grant from somewhere and purchase something, then we will be the owners.
You can't.
Although we'll notify the parish council that we've made that transaction. so that it can be added to the asset register for insurance purposes.
Insurance purposes, I know. Okay. I think we've
have I got that right?
Yeah, no, I agree, I suppose. I can't really think, unless there was some situation where you could get a grant, but you went for something really expensive that we would then have to insure, but I can't see it would happen without some kind of discussion anyway.
No.
So I think it's fairly safe. But
I think it's. I think what's written here is, I'm very happy with that. I don't need.
It clarifies the situation.
I don't really need to change the words in there personally. Yeah. I think that's perfect.
Do we want to go on a recommendation to approve this approach?
I think we need to.
Can I have a proposal, please?
I'll propose it.
As you're involved in the hub in this situation, I don't think
you can. Actually, I don't.
You declared an interest.
I didn't ask to be proposing one, so you're absolutely right.
Sorry. No. Okay, can we have a proposal, please? And a seconder? That's Councillor Cowley and Councillor Buxton. All those in favour? Keep it carried. Yes. Thank you. PCO 1918B, to consider a report from the parish clerk on the need for a third workstation in the parish office. having read through this email from the clerk, has anybody got any comments that they would like to make in favour or against this request?
Two things really, in how it feels like all, this is all coming together, because it fits in really well with all members of the team being able to actually sit in the office together at least once a week and therefore be able to communicate with each other. And then the ability for it to happen as we're going to almost paperless planning meetings, so that's going to release the space. Yeah. The only query I had, and I'm sure it will be looked into, would come to us, is the point that Clark makes about bottom paragraph. There would, however, be a need for the removal, relocation of office furniture, which potentially could involve a need for the provision of further comms ports to facilitate the office printer. This would entail an additional financial cost, which at present has not been scoped out. However, from what our RFO says, in terms of hopefully we've made savings and whatever, I can't imagine that cost would be, mean that we couldn't do it, but it's just worth noting, that was all. But I think it's make a real difference. And as I'm saying now, if we've got the time bank as well, it sort of manages to tick a number of boxes all in one go. So, yeah, sounds like a good idea.
I think I was going to come in with the same thing about the time bank. It makes it sensible to have that additional space if you are actually going to get involved in this. So, could I have a proposer, please? This one. And a seconder, please? Councillor Stead. All those in favour? Thank you. Let me carry that. Thank you. Right, moving on to PCO 9118, to receive a report, which we have done, going through those. Passing on to PCO 9418, governance matters. To review the Parish Council strategic plan, November 18-19.
Sorry.
Should be a resolution to approve for that too. It's going to be good. So that was discussed.
Oh, sorry, yes, you are correct. I do apologise. Yes, if I go back to PCO 9318, to receive a report from the Parish Charter, let us support the Rail Users Group. The letter has already been sent, but I think it makes for good order. If are there any questions with regard to the letter that was already sent? Have we all seen a copy of this?
Sure.
Okay. Pass that around if you want. This is just in support of the Rail Users Group. If everybody would just like to have a quick look at that. Thank you for pointing that out.
It wasn't in the documents that were circulated.
No, it's...
This is the letter that Health Council Van der Ven referred to.
It's in support of.
Yeah.
Let me just take 2 minutes to read it through.
Does it mention anything about a formal representative from Melbourne on that group? Because we were discussing it, and I inquired about it because I'm into that sort of thing, and it all went very quiet.
I'm currently the parish representative on the Melbourne Road Users Group.
Right. You're doing it, yeah?
I am. I've been doing it for a while. My name has been on there. Yeah, so...
Don't need me. Okay.
Thank you.
To move on to PCO 9418, governance matters. To review the Parish Council's strategic plan November 2019. Having had a discussion with our chair, who's not here tonight, it makes sense, I think, at this stage to actually shelve this and not take this one forward. There's a number of reasons, partly because the part section 5 of the plan is not complete and there's not really enough there to start a dialogue over. And also, further down, if we come to point F on this, we're actually looking to consider the holding of the S106 expenditure and co-option open evenings. Now, we need to discuss that when we get to it, but we need to understand where we're going to stand with the S106s before we can look at the strategic plan anyway, because of financing and what options are going to be open to us. So, is there anybody that would like to carry this topic forward tonight, or are we happy to delay this to a later date? Is there anybody have any issues with that?
Okay. So the suggestion is it goes on to the agenda for November.
It goes on to the November agenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right, to consider implementation of a council of road inspection regime, which has been thoughtfully put together by our assistant clerk. I think you have all seen a copy of your proposed allotted roads. You have to go out with your torches and things at midnight to make sure. But if we can look at this, the last, when I joined the council last year, I did one lot, and I think I understand from our clerk that this has not been a regular occurrence for this parish council. But does anybody have any objections to undertaking these reviews? You've been allocated a number of roads. What I was going to suggest at this stage, if it's okay, is that we aim for a 3-month turnaround, and if we're looking to do this potentially, if it's with approval of the council, twice a year. So every 6 months we'll do one, but we aim to get it all back within 3 months of the start date. So if we say from the 1st of November, finish by the end of February, to do your 6 or 7 allocated roads. That's right, isn't it? November, December, January. End of January. To get it back by the end of January. Now, one thing that does come out of this quite clearly, I've been asked to mention, is that we are actually only looking at things that the council are directly responsible, the parish council are directly responsible for. So things that we would have to fund or have to arrange to have dealt with, not things that are county council, district council responsibility. That said, and that given, if I think it's prudent to say, if when you are doing your reviews, you identify a 3-foot fissure, 8-foot wide in the road, you do report it back as an independent item, not on our report for our handling, but something that can be reported back to the clerk's office so that they can push it up the line very quickly if we do see something that is of a dangerous nature or something like that. Don't step over the hole to get to the hedge that needs trimming, as it were. But so we can identify those independently, just as a matter of course, but only put on the report that's been put together things that we're actually directly responsible for. And if you could download pictures, that would be very, very helpful as well. Does anybody have any questions on this? Councillor Travis.
I think it's worth mentioning that the previous set of road inspections that were done ran into some difficulties of interpretation. And it's really important that people do it this time, that proper regard is taken to exactly where problems are seen to arise, that we properly identify the numbers of houses, let's say, that might be offending with overhanging hedges or whatever it might be, and that we make proper checks to make sure that we're not repeating something that's already been communicated to residents without realising that we're doing that. So in order to make this look like a good exercise from the point of view of the public at large, what I'm saying is we have to be cautious and careful in the way that we do these inspections to make sure that when we do ask for something to be done by a resident, we're pretty sure that that is what should be communicated. We don't want to have some feedback as we did last time where some mistakes were made. They were put right, but it was unfortunate really. We need to be really careful to do it properly. So I think my advice would be, don't try and make it too complicated. Make the recommendations straightforward, simple, only target the big things, don't worry too much about the little things. There's plenty to find, but let's not overplay it. There's plenty to find and plenty to try and put right.
Are you making a suggestion that we actually individually would talk to people directly?
No, absolutely not.
That's what I was going to say. I think it should all come back through the clerk's office and be done through the channels. Okay.
In fact, that was a problem last time when one or two councillors tried on their own to address things with residents. That's really not the way to do it.
Absolutely. Okay.
And just an observation, Chair, that's where the photos, I think, are really helpful. Not taken with them. Zoom lens, but if you get a decent photograph on your phone and WhatsApp it through, then it at least gives the clerk more of an idea of what the problem is.
Okay. Are we happy to vote on this? To go ahead? Could I have a proposal, please?
Okay, before we vote on it, are we very clear about when we intend this to be done? We think we're going to start doing it as soon as people are ready to do it.
I was going to suggest with the 3-month period, we start as of the 1st of November to be completed by the end of January, and then 3 months after that we do a second one. So we do 2 a year, but within a 3-month cycle, that gives 3 months for all actions to be taken before we do the second.
So we're voting to implement this with a start of the 1st of November with a 3-month.
3-month time frame to get it done, and that allows 3 months for the clerk's office to do any necessary letter writing or communication with individuals, and then we'll do that on the further one in the further 6 months.
Fine.
Could I have a proposal for that, please?
Sorry, Chair, just before we move on. Will we be sort of sent instructions, as it were, as to exactly what we are and aren't looking for?
There is a document on the back of the thing which gives a pretty good. If you actually look at notes to councillors carrying out area road inspections, it just follows on from the.
Is that in. Yes, okay.
But if you ring the clerk's office, if there's anything you're not sure about, you can always check.
The second document, thank you.
But you can always check with the clerk's office anyway if it's something that we should or shouldn't be responsible for.
Yeah.
Okay. So could I have a proposal, please?
Councillor
Travis?
Yeah.
And seconded, Councillor Buxton. All those in favour? Thank you. That's carried from this. Item C, to review the training and development policy and to consider the implementation of a council training programme. Now, have we all read the relevant document? And this one, I think it's just a couple of comments that have come in from our chair. For the training policy, at section 1.7, it says the council will support the clerk as a member of the Society of Local Clerks. We support the assistant clerk as well, so I think that needs to be in the wording, so we need to change the wording accordingly. And also, there's a suggestion on this one, of deleting point 2.3. Our chair said, I don't think that the council gets the training that gets its training from should be in the policy. So basically keeping that out of it completely, so not identifying specific institutions or companies where we're going to go and get our training from. That's not necessarily relevant to the document. Does anybody have any disagreements with that? Has anybody got any other comments on the particular document? Any changes, alterations, questions? Okay. Councillor Travis?
Yes, I realise this is supposed to be a fairly top level document, but it's very short on explaining exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. It talks about 10 courses spread over 12 months. What is the expectation? Is the expectation that all councillors are going to attend all courses? It seems fairly light on detail. Maybe that's intentional. I'm wondering whether the intention is to vote on this as a directional document, or whether it's just we're going to do this. I'm not quite sure.
I think it's a guidance document. That's my interpretation. And to actually, councillors, I think to some degree are self-managing, aren't they? If they feel that there are courses that they need to go on to up their training in different areas, then they'll be putting themselves forward for those courses. I don't think it's a dictate. That's not my interpretation of it. I can only speak from my previous experience in Bali. If we had an area where we felt that we were weak on something, we would put ourselves forward for a particular course that was running, either through an organisation that specialised, and it was approved at council meeting, and then we would go on that individual course or that specific course if it was relevant to the area or the topic that we were actually interested in or were working on. That's how we used to do it. So I've picked this document up and looked at it more as a general approach to the fact that we need to be trained up, and that we are certain areas we probably do need additional training, and if that training is thought to be necessary, then we put ourselves forward for it.
Yeah.
That's my interpretation.
Maybe Councillor Hart has a view on this, but it seems to me if we vote on this, we're making a council commitment to do this, but the problem I have with it is that it's not clear enough what that commitment is.
Okay. So you would like to see it taken back and reworded to put more specifics on the bus?
I agree with the principles of it, but I just can't quite see exactly what it is that either the council is committing to in terms of cost, or what we are committing to it as individuals. So it just seems to be a bit woolly to me.
Can I ask I remember reading that bit that you quoted, but I just can't find that bit in the document now. Which point is that under, Travis? In the actual policy here with the 10 courses over 12 months. I can't find it in the... I did read that somewhere earlier on today, and now I can't find it again.
It's in the document.
Oh, so it's another one. It's not actually part of the... Sorry, yes, yeah, so no. It's the...
Separate paper.
But that's not in the policy, is it?
No.
That's just a proposed councillor training programme. Uh-huh. That's not. Is that referred to in the actual policy? I couldn't see that referred to in the policy.
What, the May 17 policy?
The Melbourne Training and Development Policy doesn't mention that. 10 out of 12, but that's a separate thing which is now. Yeah, so in the policy it doesn't mention it at all, but the separate paper that Councillor Travis is referring to today. Is that linked to that? Not yet. That's a paper that was linked to this. This is a proposed Councillor training programme. PC09418B.
No, C. This one.
The document in here is labelled as, so it's a bit confusing.
I'm not quite sure what we're supposed to be discussing here, Chair. I mean, we've got two documents. One is a policy, which covers staff and councillors. It's all good stuff, and we could prove it, I suppose. No problem with that. Although it looks as though it needs to be rewritten and dated. But it's accompanied by this other document, which implies that councillors would submit to all sorts of training at a cost. So the cost of training, £125 for a session plus mileage. I'm not quite sure which of these we're supposed to be approving. I'm sorry to be
No, no, no.
I feel that training is very important, you know, and we should get it right. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try and approve the documents, but it just seems to me that we need to be very clear about what it is we're committing to.
Okay.
This training is very hungry on time and money.
Can I just add, yes, so because the actual agenda item is to review the training and development policy, which is one thing, and then we've got to consider the implementation of the council training programme. And I guess what's, you know, a number of councillors have already attended the basic training and basic planning. So I guess perhaps it's part of the skills audit that councillors might, in terms of looking at what individual training needs are, would need to be considered. And any costs, as I said, the costs associated with that. So I don't know if that's been factored in, I could ask the RFO, if that's been factored into the budget, the training. We might have in the budget for training for both staff and for councillors. No. So we'd, I mean, that probably has implications for precept setting there.
Yes, yes. I mean, we've got quite a lot of budget left this year, but we've not had any specific discussions about what specific training we need.
And until
we got to do an ongoing rolling thing and say that everybody had to go on a certain thing, then obviously for next year we would have to.
And when we're looking at recruiting more councillors, then we'll have.
Yes.
More people that will require training.
I don't personally feel that we should be approving the training document, because at the very least it needs to be updated. And I would suggest that we consider including some indicators as to the kind of training that we expect councillors to do. If that's the objective, then the training policy should make it a bit clearer, really.
The training policy does, I mean, I suppose what has to be done is that new councillors need to attend the basic training within the first 6 months of being elected or co-opted. Now, if they haven't already, it's probably no fault of their own, because it hasn't been offered, as far as I'm aware, been other priorities. And where in the past we've managed to have it fairly local by grouping with other parish councils, so I guess that's part of the vision going forward. And to make it as cost effective as possible is to have new councillors in, you know, available to attend that training. So, I mean, I think that's certainly is a necessity to be able to be offered that basic training at the beginning.
Would you agree with a proposal that the HR panel take this away and come back to another meeting with some proposals? Because I think that's what's needed.
No, I agree with that. Sorry.
Yep, I agree with that.
Can we make a recommendation then that the HR panel... This would be a proposal that the HR panel actually take away both the documents and consider the situation and come back with formal recommendations as to how we proceed with this and what should be included within said documents. Can I have a proposal, please? Second that, Councillor Hart. All those in favour? Thank you, that's unanimous. What do we have next? D, to consider reinstalling the Melbourne Futures Working Party. I've been asked to defer this to the next agenda. Next month, if that's okay with everybody. Mm-hmm. And to Point E, to consider forming a website redesign working party. I think we can go ahead and agree on that. People are happy to go ahead with this or not. To actually pick up the members of who will be on that, we can do it at a later stage. I know Simon Clark has asked to be involved in that directly. So another member, I should imagine Mr. Kilmurray would probably want to be involved as well. So I think if we can agree on whether we look to form a working party, are we in approval of that or not? Yeah. That's Councillor Hart and seconded. Anyone else? Councillor Cowley, all those in favour? Yeah, that's carried unanimous. And that's to be deferred to a later, until next meeting, and then we can decide who's going to be involved with that. The next item, F, under this heading, to consider holding an S106 expenditure and auction open evening. This links back to the strategic plan as well, because I think this ties in very nicely. Are we in a situation where we want to actually open this up to the public for the S106s so that we can engage more locally, get people's views on this as to whether or what they would like to see the money spent on? And this also gives us the opportunity, I believe, to sort of look at co-opting new councillors as well, once they actually get involved and see a little bit about what we're doing here and seeing how we utilise their money, etc. So, are we happy to go ahead and consider this as a plan to have the S106 expenditure and co-option open evening? Can I have a proposer, please? And a seconder. That's Councillor Cowley and Councillor Buxton. All those in favour? Unanimous. That's carried. Okay, so that ties back to A as well.
Chair, can I ask the Assistant Clerk, is there a proposed date for this, or is this still a principal only?
Yeah, no, we haven't started looking at actually fixing a date. Did you have any thoughts?
Well, no, it's just that it needs to fit into the hub.
Yeah.
Program.
To move on, PCO 9518, time banking, to consider a report from the parish chair. It's in her head, apparently, and we have no report at this stage, so I think this is going to have to be carried forward, I'm afraid. The parish chair has got lots of thoughts, but she wasn't able to put things down on paper in time due to personal circumstances. So to move on to, that can be deferred, please, to the meeting. PCO 9618, Leisure and Amenities Matters, to consider the implementation of a Christmas tree recycling point. I think this falls more down to where the maintenance committee, as to do we have a location? Well, I can think of where we could start a fire.
Can I ask for help here? I've no idea how this would work or how the item has come about. I mean, it sounds like a really good idea, but I mean, I don't quite know what's involved in it, really. Does this involve just people bringing their Christmas trees somewhere and then we get rid of them, or do we need equipment to shred them? I have no idea what it means.
I think, having read through the documentation today, there is something from Hearts
and Towns have said that they'll donate half a day to
shredding
trees. Okay,
so we collect them and
they shred them.
So they're
to the central
point. No problem. I mean, just need to agree somewhere to do it, I suppose.
I think it's unlikely you see a lot of trees being dumped like mattresses, but you do see the odd things being thrown out back to the
garden. I think it does give some people a bit of a problem getting rid of them.
Councillor Cowley?
I thought South Cams did a Christmas tree collection.
I thought you could put them in your green bins.
I mean, I always chop mine up and it goes in the green bin. I thought there was might be North Harts when I lived in Royston a couple of years ago. They had a thing where you could leave it out on a certain date and collect it.
Yeah,
there
was.
I'm just looking online to see. I assume someone's looked into this in South Carolina. Don't do it.
I guess not. I mean, if they're asking us to do this, where's
the request come from?
I think.
Don't know.
Clark has experience of this because they run a similar scheme in Campbell.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay.
I don't see any objection to it, but I say it's just finding the location as to where it's going to be suitable, where Thames, the North House.
The other issue that I can see, which would need thought, is how do you tell people that it exists?
We would have to go.
Communicate it somehow.
We'd have to go onto the notice boards and the magazine. You know. That's probably going to be the only way we can do it. Facebook, or the website. Yeah.
Twitter. Yeah. Website.
Well, if it's going to the magazine, it will have to happen in the next week.
Is that the last painting for December?
First week of November is the deadline, I think.
Okay. We won't be able to give them a site by then, will we? So we could go on the website, though, couldn't it?
Yes.
So we could put it on the website. As long as it's on the website and on the notice board, that gives us enough time to... do we have any objections to this? But obviously we need
no,
to...
No, I think it's a good idea.
With a caveat that we need to identify an area. You've got hardly any distance to travel to drop yours off then.
That's right, yeah. Biggest trees in the village. Where is the suggested place? It is the car park.
Just on the left as you come into the car park.
Yeah, that probably makes a sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then that makes it easier for the team to get in there and shred.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's a very good idea.
It will be shredded by the village wardens and the resulting chippings used as mulch around the village.
Excellent.
And Cairns have offered up half a day.
The shredding would be done by Hearts and Cairns, I think.
Yeah, some of the trunks are going to be a bit too thick for the Arab.
Yeah.
Because they'll have the proper size equipment to do it.
And our Hearts and Cairns offering to...
They have offered to donate half a day, yeah.
And so, okay, presumably they will then use the mulch.
Yeah.
For their business around the village rather than purchasing the mulch for doing things.
Yeah,
thanks.
Win-win situation.
Okay. So, are we in approval of this?
Yeah.
Can I have a proposer, please? Councillor Travers, a seconder, please. Councillor Stead. And all those in favour?
Thank you.
So, and this will be put on the council website and on the notice boards once we've identified and confirmed.
You could go in the magazine, and there's time to put it in the magazine, but you need to be a bit swift.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to find out from Hearts and Cairns which day. I mean, is there a proposal? Because it says in the proposal document at the moment that drop off would be between the 2nd and the 9th. Are we then expecting Hearts and Cairns to be shredding on the 9th, in which case, is there a possibility of having 2,200 Christmas trees piled up in the car park for 7 days between the 2nd and the 9th of January?
Dennis and Keith will be extremely busy with that.
It will solve the problem of the sausage sizzle.
You'd add an footnote to that one, couldn't you? Bring the sausage and your Christmas tree.
Mm.
You're not dropping in, is there?
No. Do we need more information?
If we're going to advertise it in the magazine, we haven't got time. So I think maybe we hold off the magazine and just do a little bit more. Then you can go onto the website and the notice boards, and if anybody's interested.
We may be able to get something put into the village's edition of the Royston listing, which comes out monthly.
Does that mean we'll have none Melbourne?
Yeah, I was going to say, you might end up with a load of driving past and dropping off their trees.
Yeah, there are two versions of the listing. One is the village's version and there's a Royston version.
Mm-hmm.
The village's version is the one that probably would be more appropriate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. When do they come out?
They come out monthly. They come out on the first... Well, they're delivered around about the first of the month, and their copy deadline is normally somewhere between the 12th and the 15th.
Okay, so we can get into November one.
Yes.
Yeah, can I suggest that when the clerk is back, I mean, the clerk has experienced this before, that we'll know more information, won't we, at the next meeting. We can ask for some more information, but it sounds as though... having experienced it and knowing what the pitfalls are, I've just noticed the 2.3 of the proposed drop-off point, while centrally located, is close to residential properties which have previously complained about antisocial behaviour in the car park.
So, antisocial behaviour including dropping off Christmas trees.
In principle, we will have to speak to the club prior to actually going out and advertising this.
Okay, thank you for that.
Right, I would now like to pass over to head of our HR panel for PCO 9718, HR matters to be considered.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just a couple of things. The updated appraisal record form has been circulated to all members of the council. Perhaps Councillor Travis, you'd like to talk us through the evolution of this, because we had one approved. Was it in May? And then while we were using it,
this is a really positive story.
Absolutely.
That the parish council, having never had done any appraisals for staff, had now done appraisals for all staff. We began by taking the ACAS format for appraisals and just using that as pretty much as it was. We've adapted it a bit to suit the local conditions, and that's all that this represents. We've adapted it in order to better match what we need to do here, and that's all it is. There's no rocket science involved, it's just a simplified form.
And the way it now dovetails with the contracts, which talk about performance and performance linked to standard performance or less than standard performance, so we didn't need as many categories on that. So the proposal is that we put to council is that you accept the revised appraisal record form. Okay. Does anybody have
any
questions?
Proposal, please? Unless anyone has any questions? Any objections? Can I have a proposal, please? Councillor Buxton, seconder. Councillor Travis, all those in favour? It's carried unanimous.
I realise I dealt with item C first, but that's because it links to the employment policy review. I do apologise. So what I propose is that the HR panel will bring to council and circulate to council prior to the next meeting is the employment policy review with the revisions to reflect the new documentation. And that will also affect A. We've been advised by the clerk that we do not require a progression through the pay scales policy as such, but what where their pay scale progression is reflected at the moment is in the employment policy. So we need to make the changes to that so that it all comes together. I hope that makes sense. Yes. It has felt like a bit of a jigsaw puzzle that the HR panel have been working on for quite a long time now. We've already got another piece of the jigsaw been added by now having to review the training development policy, and the other one that we'll be focusing on is the health and safety policy. So that's moving forward.
Anything else? Okay, now we move on to PCO 9818, Public Bodies Admission to Meetings Act 1960. If I could ask our entire gallery you need to leave because this is, I'll just read it out to you so that you know. In accordance with Section 1, Section 2, Section 2 of the Public Bodies Admissions to Meetings and 1960, by the reason of the confidential nature of the business, the press and the public be excluded from the meeting. So if you could just lose yourself for 5 minutes and then we will come and collect you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Pardon?
Shall
I go as well?
Yes, I think so.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we come on to point PCO 9918, Staffing Matters, to consider a report on the parish clerk's end of probation review.
Have you switched off the